In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, here I am back in church. I simply can't bear to preach a sermon to you from my office. It just feels too strange. And especially today, I wanted to be in the presence of our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament when I preach to you on this day when he proclaims that his Father's house is a house of prayer. Today, Solomon of old passes judgment and says, "Give the living child to this woman, for she is the mother." Before entering into our spiritual commentary on this passage from the Old Testament, we hear of Solomon, ancestor of our Lord. We must, I think, address the literal sense of today's gospel, one which we all know well enough, and which we hear from all the evangelists, the cleansing of the temple. Here we must address the literal sense first, because there is a question as to the literal sense that puts itself right away. One might well ask, why does our Lord take this action? We would be incorrect if we assumed right away that it was because selling sacrificial animals was wrong. Under the old law, one did have to offer sacrificial animals upon entering the temple. And so the sale of such animals was not necessarily something to be condemned. It was, it seems, provided for under the old law. Therefore, we can understand our Lord's action in a mysterious way and in a spiritual sense. Before doing that, I think it is important to mention that there is something else to be said as far as the literal sense. It comes from what our Lord says, especially if we look at the other evangelists, at St. Matthew, for instance, where in doing this, in chasing out the money changers and overturning the tables, our Lord proclaims, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." It might be lost on us that our Lord, in fact, here is quoting two prophets, first Isaiah and then Jeremiah. In fact, the very passage of Jeremiah, which we heard in the Mass of last Thursday, that is, if we hadn't celebrated the feast of St. Joseph. First of all, then, Isaiah 56. "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, which shall not be cut off. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." Yes, this is the meaning of our Lord's words. What was going on in the temple at the time of our Lord, when he undertook its cleansing, was that the merchants had set up shop and were indeed charging high prices and extorting from people, using it as a time for profit, but worst of all, were doing so at the entrance of the temple, in the outermost court. This would seem logical enough, for of course it would be worse if they were conducting this business in the inner temple. Nevertheless, our Lord wishes to make clear that this is an abominable crime, that they are conducting this traffic in the outer court. For the outer court of the temple was known as the court of the Gentiles. It was there that Gentiles had the possibility to engage in true worship. This is then what he means when he says that it has become a den of robbers, as we heard last Thursday from the prophet Jeremiah. Behold, says the Lord, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and go after gods that you have not known? Then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, says the Lord. Thus we hear of the temple of old. As we know, the temple of Solomon, for we must get back to him shortly, the temple of Solomon was torn down, and the chosen people were taken into Babylonian captivity. It was a later prophet who would exhort the Hebrew people to rebuild the temple, because it was of supreme importance to do so, since this temple, as great as Solomon's was, would be even greater for the simple fact that the Messiah would grace the new temple with his presence. As we read in the prophet Agias, I will move all nations, and the desired of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts, and its glory shall be greater than that of the last. It is now then that we must consider the person of Solomon and the judgment that he executes today. The wisdom of Solomon was proverbial. He was considered the wisest king on earth. His name, Solomon, means Prince of Peace. And so of course, he must be seen as a prefigurement of Christ. We must consider then closely the judgment that he executes today. For we are told, in important details of the inspired text, there came two women that were harlots to King Solomon and stood before him. Yes, these two women, one of whom had a dead child, were disputing, as they lived in the same house, over which one had the child that was living, to whom, in fact, belonged the child that was not killed. It is very important that they are described as two harlots, for this explains the connection of this passage with the New Testament, as we hear today. These two harlots, and we are now accustomed to explaining the scriptures in this fashion after so many days of Lent, represent, as we are not surprised, the two testaments, the old and the new. And it is important that they are both designated as harlots. That is, both peoples, the Gentiles and the Jews, have been unfaithful to the Lord. Nevertheless, the judgment of Solomon, because of the one who has a true love and says, let the other have the child rather than he be killed, Solomon proclaims, give the living child to this woman, for she is the mother. Yes, the one who truly cared for the child and did not want him to die, even if that meant losing him. Yes, that is the true mother of the child. When our Lord is reproached by the Jews today for what he does, he pronounces the mysterious words destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And St. John explains immediately, he was saying this regarding the temple of his body. According to St. John, then, we cannot see our Lord simply as the new Solomon. We also must see him as the new temple of Solomon. What is the temple of the New Testament? It is the body of the new and true Prince of Peace. How can the new temple, how can the New Testament be both Solomon and temple? For this, we must recall the teaching that I hope we all know well regarding the mystical body of Christ. There is his mystical body, and there is his true body. His true body is nothing else than his very flesh, the flesh he took on that he took from the Blessed Virgin Mary, which he laid down on the cross for our salvation, and which was, as he promises here, gloriously raised up. But there is also his mystical body, inside which dwells his true body. All nations are invited to enter this temple, the temple of his mystical body, for its walls were set wide open when it lay in peace on the wood of the cross. It is the new Solomon, the new temple, who now executes judgment upon the people of the Old Testament, declaring, "Give the living child to this woman, for she is the mother. Life has now come to the Gentiles through baptism, and so their true mother will be the church." Yes, all are declared harlots. All have been unfaithful to the Lord, so that God may have mercy on all. Let us close then, dear faithful, with our spiritual communion for today. At thy feet, O my Jesus, I prostrate myself, and I offer thee repentance of my contrite heart, which is humbled in its nothingness, and in thy holy presence. I adore thee in the sacrament of thy love, the ineffable Eucharist. I desire to receive thee into the poor dwelling that my heart offers thee. While waiting for the happiness of sacramental communion, I wish to possess thee in spirit. Come to me, O my Jesus, since I, for my part, am coming to thee. May thy love embrace my whole being in life and in death. I believe in thee, I hope in thee, I love thee. Amen.